Good morning, good morning. I will apologize up front. I am sick, and so I've been sneezing and coughing a bit. So this lesson may have a few interruptions. I'll try my best not to. And so hopefully we can get through this because I think it's an important lesson. And you all can, maybe if I can talk a little softer and just raise the volume. Might be save my voice a little bit. So let's start with a prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for this time to look at your word. Help me, Lord, to be able to give honor and glory to your word as we talk about this subject, and one that's near and dear to your heart, as I can tell by how often you spoke about it in your word. And so that look forward to looking into that, Lord. Thank you so much. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Okay, well, in Luke 6, and verse 12 is going to be most of what I'm spending my time on today. It's, as you'll see, it's about Jesus praying. And I couldn't help but want to try to expand on this a little bit. So it's mostly about prayer, with just a few verses about him selecting his 12 apostles. So let's get the verses over here. I got this nice nativity scene that I found and set it up for the verses. I think it looks kind of nice for this time of the year. I have to move my picture around because I want to cover up the star. So I want to be on the left side today. There's no whatchamacallit for this painting in our series of paintings. We don't get to another painting until we get to chapter 7. So. Well, just a simple little message about prayer. And starting in verse 12, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And so that I can't help but see that I thought I would just point out a few other places that we see Jesus prayed a lot to the Father during his time here on earth. I think that's a great example for us, that we should be spending a lot of time in our prayer, and also that it's always he always did it mostly in private. I'm going to mention one prayer that he did that obviously John overheard because he recorded it in his gospel, or maybe Jesus told him to. I'm not sure which, but it's a beautiful prayer that we get to see the inside of Jesus as he prays for us, I believe. And we'll look at that also. But just a few other places that we see Jesus going off by himself to pray over in Matthew 14:23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Matthew 18:20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. I threw that in there as more of a when we ask others to pray with us. Is that when we're praying in one accord, I think it has special meaning for the Lord. Mark 1:35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before the day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. These are all Jesus, talking about Jesus. Luke 5:7-16, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Luke 9:18, and it came to pass as he went alone praying, his disciples were with him. And he asked them, saying, "Who say the people that I am?" We'll get to that when we get to chapter 9. That's kind of a neat chapter. But I just wanted to point out that he prays. Luke 11, verse 1. This is a great example, too, of some people call it the Lord's Prayer, but it's not really the Lord's Prayer because the Lord ain't praying it. He's giving an example to his disciples about how to pray. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of the disciples said unto him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." He's making reference there to John the Baptist. I guess he taught his disciples how to pray. And he said unto them, "When ye pray," this is Jesus speaking, "say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so that so that's an example of what Jesus was trying to tell the disciples on how to pray. And it kind of gives you categories to pray under. So that, going back over it, just real quick, verse 2 there, it says, when you pray, say, Our Father. So you always address the Father first. That's something I always do, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. So you want to make sure you recognize who God is. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. So that, in that second part, kingdom come, that's waiting for his return to rapture us, that, and then he sets up his kingdom here on earth. That's the basic premise is. So he's supposed to request that. And thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. So in other words, whatever the Lord wants done should be done. Give us our day by day, our daily bread. So this is the bread that we should asking for our thankfulness for our daily provisions. And forgive us our sins. So let's repent of our sins. For we also forgive everyone, and also to be forgiving to others also. That's the whole idea of taking the stick out of our own eye before you take the splinter out of somebody else's eye. And deliver us, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, God doesn't deliver us from temptation. That's you're asking God to help you not be tempted, is what basically what it says. And to try your best not to allow yourself to be tempted. It doesn't mean that God is actually going to lead us into temptation. We do that pretty good all by ourselves. So that's the, I would call it more the prayer teaching, how to pray. I wouldn't call it the Lord's Prayer, because actually in John 17 is a beautiful prayer that Jesus does. John records it. This is Jesus speaking this prayer, and somehow he was able to hear the whole thing. So that's what I'm going to go through next. It's a little bit lengthy. It's like 20-some verses, but if you're ever feeling down, ever want to study, I'm just going to read through it. But it's a great passage to study. Starting in verse 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, thy hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Jumped ahead too far. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and I have kept their word, thy word. That's not only talking about the men there, but also I believe that speaking of the entire church that God actually gives to Jesus. Sorry about that. Now that they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and thou have received them, and have made known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them that which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorifying in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keeping through thine own name those which thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Beautiful statement right there. He's including us in that same relationship that he has with the Father. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. This is the idea we get of accepting the Lord into us, is that he's part of us, and that's symbolically what it means. I have given them the word, and their word hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. This is basically, you know, that Jesus says in another place that, you know, just because, you know, if you're hated as a Christian, then you're in a good place, because they hated Jesus first. I'd definitely rather be one with Jesus than one with the world. Continuing in verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Now there's a definite verse that speaks about the church, because everyone that the disciples spoke to and believed on him became part of the church. Verse 21. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that thou world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will day that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them that thy name, and will declare it, that thy love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. And when it was, oh, and that was the end of the prayer, sorry. Verse 26 there. So that was a beautiful, that's an actual prayer by Jesus to the Father on our behalf. And so I just wanted to really emphasize that that Jesus was a man of prayer, and so should we. And I'm just as guilty. It seems like I feel sometimes like I don't pray enough. I think I do, but it seems like I should be praying more. And so I really strive to try to continue to always be, I feel like I'm in like constant relationship with the Lord. And as much as I'm always talking to him, I formally sit down and I pray at certain times for certain things, formally, like the example that he gave the disciples. But I also think that I'm kind of like conversing with him. It's kind of like two people walking side by side and talking with each other. That's kind of like what I go through my day. Unless I'm actually talking to somebody else, I feel that it's important that we're kind of thinking about the Lord all the time, thanking him for the things we see around us. Thank him for that that car that lets you go before you did, or thanking him for that person that held the door open for you. And all those little things that makes life interesting. And even thank him for the trials and tribulations. I'm having a little sickness right now, but I know that makes me stronger. So I thank God for it. That it helps to improve my. And thank God I got tested today, so I didn't have any. It's only the common cold. It's not anything more serious like, that COVID or the flu. So I'm doing good. I figure I'll be hopefully back in church next weekend, but I don't know yet. I'll see how things go this week. I'm going to continue to try to do my lessons and keep them up. And they just may not be quite as lengthy as they've been. But just to finish up here on this one, back to Luke 6:13. And this started as a like Jesus went up to pray and basically be in connection with the Lord and with the Father to make decisions about what he's going to be doing next. And I think that's a great thought process. We should always go to the Lord too when we're making decisions. And particularly if they're really lengthy, really important decision, that we should be spending quite a bit of time in prayer. It says that Jesus spent the entire night praying about this and going over things with the Lord, with the Father. And so he picked his 12 disciples. So that kind of tells us too that there was actually more than 12 following him, and he chose 12 that were going to be his apostles. And the only difference between an apostle and a disciple, an apostle is actually sent out. It's somebody that's, I think it's important to realize that we're all disciples of God, and we're all supposed to be trying to do his bidding, do his work here on earth. And that whatever he's called us to do, that's our calling. But in this case of the 12 apostles, they were going to be evangelizing and spreading the word through the entire region. So it doesn't take away from those who didn't get selected, but he chose these folks to be the ones to take the gospel and start the church. And trust me, their lives were nothing but they had to be really dedicated to what they did. So it wasn't an easy, it wasn't some kind of a promotion or anything. It was just that Jesus and the Father felt that these would be the best 12 to start the church. And we know one of them ended up being Judas, was a traitor, and I'm sure God knew that, but it was a necessary aspect of this period of time also. So to finish up here, and when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, which also he named apostles. And this is in three of the Gospels. It's also in Matthew, chapter 10. It's almost the exact same story. I'll just mention chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. So he gave them this power, this select 12, so that they could be a witness for him, for Jesus. And help convince people. This was a tough period of time. They were trying to convince the Jewish people. He was trying to convince the Jewish people that they needed to repent and realize that Jesus was the Messiah. And most of them up to that point had not believed that. And so they had a tough job ahead of them. So he gave them these extra powers, I think, in order so that they could, in Jesus' name, show them who Jesus really was. Okay, back to Luke. In a minute, I'll mention Mark's because Mark has some additional information. I'll read it at the end here. Luke 6:14. So these are the 12: Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zealots. And Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was a traitor. And just that I'll read a few verses out of Mark that adds a little bit more information. In Mark 3, verse 9 and verse 13, and he goeth up into a mountain and called unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should, see that word ordained? That's where we get it when we send out a pastor. So that's kind of like the same thing. When we send out a pastor to do the same thing, we ordain him. We send him out. And this is what Jesus was doing. He sent out these 12. And so a church sends out somebody to be an evangelist. It's the same process. That they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. And to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. And it goes on in Simon, in Mark, it goes on to list the 12 apostles again. So that's all I'm going to really do for today. Keep it a little short, help my breath a little bit. And we'll continue tomorrow with the next section is about a lead up to the famous Sermon on the Mount. They don't do it in Luke, it's mostly in Matthew, but they have a little bit of it in Luke, just like a prelude. And so I'll talk a little bit about that tomorrow. So you have a great day. Love you all, and we'll talk later. Oh, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for helping me to keep my voice going, Lord. And I give you all praise and thanks. Thank you for this message. And you continue to be with us and comfort us and help us through this. And that I can be strong and well again. And that all those out there, Lord, that are also fighting disease and are having a tough go of it, give them the strength to continue on and help them to know that you give them comfort even during the tough times, and that you'll be with them and help them through their situation. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Okay, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a great day.